Member Rotrov?
Here, oh, sorry.
Here.
And President Kowalczyk?
Here. Okay, we're gonna start. There are some community comments that people want us to read, so I have just a handful. It's not too bad. First comment is from a Rebecca, and it is, dear board members, first thank you for your service to our community. I have been a member of the Mount Prospect community since 1990, and both my children were students in D57. I am writing to ask you to consider hiring more diverse teachers and administrators so that our children can seek leaders who are people of color earlier in their development. I encourage you to seek diverse candidate pools and to recruit from diverse universities, etc. I think diverse leaders in our community can only make Mount Prospect an even better place to live. Thank you, Rebecca Chmielski. Okay, next up, dear superintendent, I am writing in response to your email from 9/1/20 that was sent out to the whole district. My child is currently enrolled at Fairview Elementary School. On Thursday, 8/13/20, the D214 Board of Education held a meeting with current restrictions allowing only 50 individuals to attend. The overflow was held at another location of the building where the meeting was held via live stream. Individuals were given the option to sign up for public comments at the meeting and were given the opportunity to address the Board of Education. D57 has not held a live community forum for parents to express their concerns or have an open dialogue that parents that pertain to their child in the community. Is there a particular reason that our school board does not hold a live forum to address any concerns? For starters, can you tell me what was involved with the return to school process? The information that was provided was very minimal, to say the least. On June 23rd, 2020, the ISB issued a document called Starting the 2020-21 School Year, Part 3 Joint Guidance, in conjunction with the IDPH. As you are aware, the document is understandably long and lays out a detailed set of plans for a safe return to school, along with important guidance and observations. These included no amount of technology can replicate the effect of face-to-face interactions and instruction between teachers and students, and in-person instruction is strongly encouraged. And schools and districts are encouraged to provide completely in-person instruction for all students in phase 4, provided that the school is able to comply with capacity limits and implement social distancing measures. My question is that if School District 57 sent out a survey for parent feedback and 59% of parents expressed certainty in sending their students for in-person learning, why didn't majority rule? 41% of parents indicated interest in enrolling students in a full-time remote learning program, and 2% expressed the certainty of not sending their student for in-person learning. The district decided to offer families the option to have in-person learning or remote learning. Shortly after that decision, another decision was made, and the message of returning to school was altered without hearing from the community. One district opened a forum for families and invited them to join in Rosemont. The state guidelines require the effort for in-person learning, were that obligation and directive taken seriously? Has the school board met with the leadership, both unions, along with you, to review case data and address staff concerns that come up? As a parent, I would like to know what those steps were and what came of it. Once again, the state guidelines require that effort and certainty. Our children deserve that at the least. Understandably, Lincoln Middle School is overcrowded. However, the decision to remain closed should not be affected by one school. Offering in-person learning in August would have been a better option, as the weather was warm and moving forward, adjustments could have been made. As a parent, I would much rather have my child in person and then, if need, to change to remote learning. For example, Lincoln Woods School District staggered the start of in-person learning with grades 1 through 4 starting on the first day, pre-K through K starting 2 days later, grade 5 starting the following week, and the middle school returned September 8th. The students are remote learning during their staggered start process. This district adopted a parent choice approach where parents choose between full-time in-person learning or remote synchronous learning via Zoom, allowing parents to choose what is best for their child. I can give numerous examples of other districts following this plan. I understand the popularity of this approach has been mixed, but that is why we offer a parent survey and an open dialogue. Can parents commit to 2-week blocks of time, but remain flexible to allow for necessary adjustments? Using tents to allow for additional space, hiring another nurse to rotate at schools, hiring a medical consultant, hiring full-time permanent substitutes to assist with staff needs. What ideas did the school board address? Once again, the school board is the voice of the entire community, not just a few. At this time, another survey should be given to the community as well as staff on offering in-person learning. How do the staff feel teaching remotely and what are their struggles? Remote learning is an ineffective way to teach students, and more harm is being caused by being out of school than the virus. I say this both as a parent and as an educator. District 57 has stated that they will be watching surrounding school districts and follow along with the recommendations. I want to address a few concerns I had with that decision. Currently, School District 57 has 4 schools with 2,200 students. However, School District 25 has 9 schools with 5,000 students. School District 59 has 15 schools and 7,000 students. And 214 has over 12,000 students. Clearly, we are a significantly smaller school district, and we should not be comparing surrounding school districts given their size and number. Current schools that are conducting in-person learning are Rosemont, District 78, Northbrook District 31, Lincoln Wood, Oak Brook District 53, Glen Ellen District 89, Antioch District 36, and so many others. Why are we not providing what the ISB is requiring? I end this letter with a plea to revisit opening only the elementary schools to offer in-person learning and remote learning for families that choose that option. Are you able to follow up with these school districts that have had success and implement that in our school district? I am confident that the Governor ISBE and IDPH would support our district opening schools. Families that have medical and emotional needs that prevent in-person learning or families that are not comfortable can be given the option of remote learning. The mental health and education of our children need to be prioritized at this time. And that's from Irene McCropolis. From Robert Taylor. I have 2 brief questions. 1, could you please outline the procedures and protocols in place to protect students in the event of a Zoom bomb incident? And could you please give a status update on the October 2020 return to school plan, including conditions for return? For example, if an adult vaccine were made available for the teachers and staff, but a child vaccine remains unavailable due to the known prolonged nature of testing vaccines on children, would a return to school option be available for students and parents willing to do so? This is from Allison and Justin Hulfo. Hello, the 5.5-hour school day, even with breaks, sitting in front of the computer screen has been too long for our kids, first and third grade. Physically, they complain about eye strain and headaches, and emotionally, they are feeling downtrodden. We do not believe this is going to be an effective way to teach what is being taught to these young children. We believe that a shorter school day from 9 to 12 with breaks would be a better way to teach core subjects. This may mean the loss of some subjects like library skills, music, art, or PE. It may also mean the loss of state or federal funds due to funding requirements. Our job is to make decisions that are in the best interest of our children, not government mandates. We are looking into homeschooling as an alternative option, but hope we can stay with D57. This is from Zoe Giannakopoulos. I'm sorry if I botched that. Hi, I sent an email to the board through the district website. I am writing here as well. I have been asked by parents in the community to reach out to the board to request an in-person school board meeting. We would like the board and parents present to discuss the district's reopening plans, to be able to ask questions and receive answers at that time. We can do this. I have many parents in the community interested in attending, so the sooner we can have an answer would be better. This way we can work through the logistics and maintain the social distancing requirements. Thank you for partnering with parents in the community to provide a forum for open discussion. Okay. This is also from Zoe. She says, I'm reaching out to give you feedback on how remote learning has been going and to discuss plans for reopening. I have a first grader at Westbrook and a fourth grader at Fairview. First, I want to commend both their teachers. They have done a great job with their lesson plans and navigating through these new challenges. I have nothing negative to say at all about any of the staff at D57. This week has been an interesting new experience in our house. My first grader had a very rough start with remote learning. He did not want to pay attention, had a hard time hearing instructions, and by 2:30 was completely zoned out. He is still working on advancing his reading skills, which made reading instructions difficult. A 6-year-old is not developmentally ready to engage in 25 hours of Zoom instruction per week. My fourth grader, who I thought would have no issues at all, had 2 crying meltdowns. That was not just a simple defiant meltdown. He cried because he wanted to be back in school and that he was really scared he would have to remote learn forever, among other fears that he stated. His behavior was very worsened to my husband and I, as we have not seen him act this way before. This showed us that he is also not ready developmentally for 25 hours of Zoom instruction per week. We are worried about both of our children's emotional health as they continue to be isolated from their peers. I am sharing my personal experience with you because I want to consider all the families and children prior to deciding on a reopening plan. Please consider the risk-benefit ratio of being back to school with a hybrid model or continuing e-learning. I believe the district is doing everything in their power to mitigate COVID risk to staff and students. I say mitigate because we can never estimate all risks eliminate all risks associated with any virus. As parents, many of us are wanting our children back in school because we feel it is the best way for them to learn and that they will be in the environment. Continuing all remote learning is not sustainable and is a disservice to the needs of our children. I am asking the board to consider the thoughts of the parents and students in the community when making their upcoming decisions on the district's reopening plans. We believe our children need to return to in-person instruction in some form. Thank you for your time. This next is written from Lisa Shaw and a group of 28 others. I hope this message finds you well as we are into e-learning school year. The purpose of this letter is to urge you to seriously consider allowing the children to return to in-person school at the beginning of this pandemic. The purpose of keeping people sheltered was to reduce the risk at our local hospitals. As we can see, all of our local hospitals are doing spectacular in terms of the number of COVID patients, as well as the availability of ICU beds if needed for COVID patients. Somehow it has turned to not only flattening the curve, but somehow completely erasing it before returning to any sort of in-person education. This is not sustainable. Elementary school children cannot and should not be in front of a computer all day trying to learn new material. The teachers are trying their hardest and are doing a great job, but it is too difficult to teach children while on Zoom. Children learn through tactile senses and physically being in the classroom. The risks we are putting our children in by leaving them inside all day staring at a computer far outweighs the benefits of staying home to reduce transmission of this disease. The current positivity rate should not be a means to go by when returning to school, since there is simply not enough testing to really give a clear picture. Also, the hospitalization rate of these cases should also be considered. Having a hybrid model allows the safest and most sustainable model for the children to continue getting a quality in-person education. How is it safe for some districts and schools to go back to school but not our district? The current ISBE and IDPH recommendations for schools are guidelines, not laws. The districts need to determine how to get children safely back in schools. Even the AAP recommends in-person school for children. The hybrid model of AM/PM is the model that would make the most sense for the elementary students. Parents can be given the choice between hybrid or all remote learning. Students can definitely keep their masks on for 3 hours at a time, and there is no need to remove their masks for lunch or any snacks. I do not think we are giving our children enough credit. They are fully capable of understanding what is needed of them to keep themselves and others safe. The remainder of the day can be a study and worksheets if needed. Right now, the priority are core subjects that the children would otherwise be tested on for their MAP testing. If there is need for a teacher or a classroom to be quarantined, then we can move to the current model of e-learning. Also, if there's a hybrid model, the remote learning option would need to be clarified for those parents wishing to remain remote. Obviously, if the teachers are in the classroom all day with the students, then they cannot continue with synchronous teaching on Zoom. I understand everyone has their own situation at home. They feel they put their family at higher risk. However, we cannot, as a community, go with the minority. The majority of the parents in the district with whom I've spoken to want the children back in school, and as the parent board, this should be the voice for all of these parents. We should be given a choice. I urge the administration to put a new survey out to all District 57 parents of elementary school age children, asking if they would like to move to the AM/PM model with a remote option and what that remote option would look like, or to continue with the current e-learning model. I feel we need to have a clear picture of what the parents really want and what is available to them. There will never be a zero risk option. This option simply mitigates the risk. This can be managed and it has to be managed. A vaccine is still a year away, and this is not even a pediatric vaccine. Children cannot spend their elementary school years in front of the computer. This is negatively affecting their critical child developmental years. Education is essential and should be open to all children. As a fellow parent, I deeply urge you to consider starting in-person school sooner rather than later. Waiting for the numbers to magically go down will not happen for years. The virus needs to run its course. Lastly, the staff at D57 has been working tirelessly to do everything they can to make the experience as successful as possible for the children. This letter does not negate any of this. We seem to be doing everything to keep the staff and children out of this school instead of getting everyone back in school. Education is essential. Public education is an essential part of the community. Public education for young children requires a live teacher. We as parents would like to know exactly what steps are being taken to get children and staff into the building safely. Also, is the district using any of the federal aid CARES Act to help with the cost of getting staff and children back into the schools? The parents need to know their voices are being heard, and we would like an open line of communication as to what the plan is for getting children back in school. We're almost done. Next up is from Pam Corkle. I want to thank you for the well-thought-out plans and successful start to e-learning. My two kids have engaged with no problems, and I am happy with how well-thought-out everything is, from the use of Zoom time to the slick new ClassLink platform. I keep sending ideas from my children's e-learning to educators in other districts. I have a friend whose daughter is doing remote learning in a district which is also implementing hybrid, and she is seeing some of the problems described in our previous board meeting. Her daughter has a teacher not from her school, who luckily has turned out to be great, but only has instruction from her for a few hours a day. The rest is asynchronous assignments that are not receiving much monitoring or feedback, presumably because staff are divided among hybrid learners at school, hybrid learners at home, and all remote learners. I'm glad that an all remote plan at D57 has allowed my kids to get all of their instructional time with the same great teachers they would have had in person. I have heard that some students are struggling more with remote learning, and I would hope that if a distance learning solution cannot be found for them, that they would be prioritized for some in-person time as needed and as allowed by health conditions. And this is from Kim McClusack. Now that we are all a few weeks into this new school year, I want to say that I unequivocally still support not only full remote learning, but also teachers have the option to work from home for any reason of their choosing. If teachers believe they can work better from school, I believe that is their choice. But I reject the notion made by some in our community that teachers can only be professional in a school setting and not from home. Our teachers are professional wherever they work from. Furthermore, as an educator in District 214, I have already seen how easy it is for schools to have an outbreak with even minimal staff in the building, let alone bringing students in. Keeping teachers home and safe is the best choice for our community and the best shot we have at getting back to face-to-face in the future. In fact, I support one step further and support teachers providing students with additional asynchronous opportunities rather than requiring students to be on camera for full periods, thus giving students and teachers more flexibility in their teaching and learning. I thank the board for everything they are doing at this time. And then I just had wanted to make just one point on most of those comments, that the decision to go to change to remote was driven by science and input from our staff and families. We as a board decided after learning that we could not possibly do social distancing properly in the schools, that we would start remote and then go to a hybrid. Administration and staff had time to put a plan together. Admin staff also need time to have a hybrid plan that can work just as well. The plan was not to be jumping back and forth with different plans. We will have an update at our next meeting on September 24th as to how remote is working and how the hybrid plan will be developed or is developing. And then there was just one question within there. I had mentioned, Elaine, regarding the Zoom bombing, if that is any kind of factor, if we have to worry about that.
I'm going to turn that over to our Director of Technology, Mark Fiore, to respond to.
Thanks, Elaine. We have not had any incidents of Zoom bombing this year. Essentially, we took the recommended steps from Zoom to secure our meetings. That includes disabling auto chats, disabling remote control, disabling the ability for students to create their own meetings or join before the hosts. We also took the steps to make sure that all of our links and meeting invites are not public facing. They all are behind walls that they have to be authenticated behind, whether it be ClassLink or Google Classroom or Seesaw. And then we also have, if something was to happen, we do have the ability to go back and look at all of our meeting logs. We're able to see everyone who connected, their IP address, and where they're connecting from, their location. So we do feel confident that with the steps that we have in place to prevent it, but in the case that something inappropriate does happen, that we have the tools and the resources to follow up on it and take the necessary steps.
Okay, thank you. Okay, now we're going to continue on. We're going to start with GovHR USA with their presentation.
Share my screen. You all good?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you, Beth. Good evening. I am Jean Sophie from GovHR USA and a recently retired superintendent from Lake Bluff 65. I'm here tonight with Beth Flores, another recently retired superintendent, and with Heidi Voorhees, the president and co-owner of GovHR USA. It goes without saying, we are living in very interesting and challenging times. You are hiring a superintendent during these very challenging times, not knowing what's ahead tomorrow or a year from now. It may be the pandemic and it may be something else by that time. Whatever it is, the superintendent you hire has to be really willing and know how to work through these challenges. Beth and I both know what it takes as recently retired superintendents, having worked through the pandemic this past spring. In my case, at the end of February, I celebrated just another 29th birthday again by staying home and spending time with my family. During that time, I also followed the news all day because I'd been concerned since the day after winter break when we were getting news feeds about what was going on throughout the rest of the world and as our students came back from some of these places. I became very concerned. The following day, I returned to work where we had a teacher institute. It was that day that I told our teachers that we were scrapping our plans for Institute Day and instead working on 1 week plus of lesson plans, just in case of an emergency. I faced a room of blank stares, question marks, lots of questions, and my comment was, trust me. And it was 2 weeks after that, to that day, that the governor of Illinois closed all of our schools, and our teachers had their week plus of lesson plans that we had just prepared. Why do I tell you that story tonight? Well, after almost 40 years in education, most recently at 12 as a superintendent, you learn to read the environment and prepare for the unexpected. There must always be a plan A, B, C, and oftentimes many other options. You have to be ready to change course in a moment's notice. We don't know what kind of challenges your superintendent will need to face a year from now, but we do know that the role of the superintendent always calls on being ready at a moment's notice. That superintendent has to be someone who can anticipate, respond quickly, change course, and all while continuing to move forward and fulfill all their other job responsibilities. My partner Beth and I can help your district find a superintendent that can do this and become the new face of Mount Prospect 57. Beth and I are working with a very well-established company who has been successfully navigating COVID-19 themselves. We monitor and follow all federal, state, and local guidelines, and we have access to sophisticated remote capabilities, including video meetings, emails, surveys, and other electronic tools, and one-way video interviews that are going to be talked about a little bit later in our presentation. So why hire GovHR USA? Well, we have immediate hands-on relevant experience that we just talked about. We have a personal track record of recruitment success, including our own different types of involvement in our own superintendent replacements. GovHR is a long-established company with a nationwide network and a track record of recruiting professionals in the government arena all over the country. We have a unique STEP process, which you will hear about shortly. And because we have a lot of passion and motivation to serve you. And this is what we would bring to your search and what we're here to tell you about tonight.
Good evening. As Jean said, I'm a recently retired superintendent from Gulf School District 67. I just retired in June, having worked through pandemic planning. And prior to my time at Gulf School District, I served as the director of human resources and a principal in Evanston-Skokie School District 65. I began my career as a Chicago Public School teacher, and then an assistant principal, an instructional coordinator, and a principal. So I worked in a very, very large school district, the biggest in Illinois, and then a school district of 17 schools, and then a small district in North Cook region of 2 schools. Highlighted in the blue box are numerous professional organizations that I've been a member of. My district has been a National Blue Ribbon recipient. I was one of 14 superintendents nationwide to be a member of the Future Ready Summit in Washington, D.C. Currently, I work with National Lewis University, supervising interns who are going for their administrative endorsement. I am certified in coaching for leaders, and I've been a presenter at the national, state, and local levels.
My experience, hands-on relevant, is being a superintendent the last 8 years in Lake Bluff 65, small district of approximately 900 students and 2 schools. Prior to that, I was the superintendent in Westchester 92 and a half. Again, a small district, about 1,200 students, 3 schools, very diverse community. Prior to that, I was in Palatine Community Consolidated School District 15, where I worked for 9 years as an assistant principal, a principal, and wound up serving 5 years as the assistant superintendent for personnel and human services in the 3rd largest elementary school district in the state. So like Beth, I have experience in large and small districts and also diverse socioeconomically and diverse communities. Highlighting my professional experiences, and we bring this to you to let you know that we do have a wide network of contacts that we bring to our search process. I've been the president of both Lake and West Cook, Illinois Association of School Administrators. I was a founding member and the president of the Illinois Association of School Personnel Administrators. I have my chief school business official endorsement, so I know a lot of business officials. I actually met Beth in a coaching for leaders class, and that also had administrators from all different levels, so that widened our connections. I've also been an adjunct professor, and I've presented at the local, state, and national levels. So we do have a wide network of people that we would be able to work with.
So Jean and I have a proven track record of recruitment success. I've been responsible for all recruitment and hiring protocols for building and district level administrators and teachers from 2009 through 2020. In my career, I've hired approximately 200 teachers, probably more, and dozens of administrators. I've provided mentorship and coaching to numerous teachers and administrators seeking administrative opportunities. And I conducted and facilitated the superintendent search for my replacement at Gulf. After researching various search firms, my board was convinced that I knew better than anyone who could fill my shoes. Although it was a great deal of work, my board and I were dedicated to ensuring a smooth transition and continuing the successful work that we were doing in our school district. I followed the process that we are presenting this evening, and I am confident that my replacement will continue the district's tradition of excellence.
As far as my background, like Beth, and Beth, are you gonna flip back to
that? Yep, sorry, just went on.
I've been responsible for all recruitment and hiring protocols since 2002. In District 15, I hired 52 building and district level administrators and over 200 teachers. I know that statistic because at that time we were a Baldrige school district and we had to keep those statistics. As a superintendent, I've hired over 12 building and district level administrators. I've provided mentorship and coaching to retain and grow all administrators. I'm currently offering that at the North Cook Intermediate Service Center. And I've worked very closely with my board and the search firm to conduct the search for my replacement.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Heidi Voorhees, and I'm president and co-owner of GovHR USA. And I do not have a school superintendent background. I did, however, spend 19 years working in local government. and I spent 10 of those years as the village manager for Wilmette. So I'm certainly very familiar with community building, resident interaction, and some of the challenges of working in local government. In 2001, I started working in recruitment and selection in local government, and then in 2009, co-founded GovHR USA. When we founded GovHR USA, the two of us, me along with Joellen Catamatori, we had two core values that we focused on. One was excellence in recruitment and selection and partnering with our clients for transparent processes that yielded the best possible results for them. The second goal was to increase the gender diversity and the racial diversity of executives in local government. When we started, approximately 13% of city managers were women and less than 8% were persons of color. And I've looked at the statistics for school superintendents, and you are doing better than we are doing in local government. The 2020 statistics from the Superintendents Association show about 26% of superintendents are female, but again, 8% are persons of color. So obviously there's still work to do in these areas. And this is something that we have dedicated our firm to. We not only participate in organizations such as the National Forum for Black Public Administrators and the Local Government Hispanic Network, we support them financially. And I say this not because it's going to impact this recruitment. I know those aren't the talent pools that we would be looking into, but I want you to know that we not only have those core values, but we act on them. So since our business was founded in 2009, we've grown from 2 people to 12 full-time people and 8 permanent part-time plus 22 project consultants. We've conducted more than 700 recruitments in 39 states, and we have consultants located across the country. So we've grown and we continue to grow. One of the things that has happened often throughout the years is we've been approached to bid on proposals and RFPs for school superintendent recruitments. We often work in communities where there's crossover on boards and they would reach out to us. We have never responded to those because we did not feel we had the expertise to do them effectively. So we began searching for who could work with us in this field, because we feel that we have the infrastructure, we have the outreach mechanisms, we have the technology to do this. And we were thrilled to find Beth Flores and Jean Sophie, who could join our team and take on this new initiative. It is a natural evolution for us. We have the infrastructure to do it, and we now have the talent to move this forward. And we believe that their recent experience as superintendents gives them the best possible foundation to really understand the complexities of the superintendent job today. And it's our goal to find the best fit for your district. We have what we call a unique recruiting process, the STEP process, that's specific, it's timely, it's ethical, and it's a partnership. With respect to this specific recruitment, as I mentioned, one of our core values is to tailor the process to what you are seeking. So most of our clients do want to do focus groups or interviews. And these are particularly challenging right now, but I'll just describe the Evanston City Manager recruitment process that we are currently undertaking. We started it during the pandemic, and we were able to use a comprehensive survey that went out, and more than 650 residents responded to it. We also did focus groups through Zoom using breakout sessions. So we had between 60 and 70 people who were on the call, and then we had staff members that worked in smaller groups. So we'd have groups of 20 in each breakout session, and then we'd come back together at the end, and each group would share their perspective. So there are ways to do this during the pandemic if we are unable to meet in a way that is safe for everyone. We've also gone through interviewing processes during the pandemic. All of these things have continued to move forward using technology. As I mentioned earlier, this is a tailored process. We will develop recruitment materials, brochures, and advertising that are based specifically on your district. We have a strong presence in social media. The hits at our website are now currently at 12,000 a month. We have a dedicated public relations person who every week pushes out all of our job announcements through social media as well as other websites. So we really feel that the best way to ensure a diverse talent pool, in addition to personal contact and knowledge of those individuals, is also to do an extensive outreach. And social media is a huge part of that. We recently just got a license for software pertaining to LinkedIn that allows us to do a search on every single LinkedIn profile based on certain criteria. So we could do a search on Illinois school superintendents and get the contact information for those individuals, even though we are not linked with them. So this gives us additional opportunities to reach out. I think in our candidate screening process, we've really maximized the use of technology. We do, in addition to doing our own video interviews, which we were doing for the last several years before COVID, we also have the opportunity to provide you with a brief one-way video of each of the finalist candidates. So the way that it works is the candidate answers three questions and they create almost a YouTube video and you receive that link as a part of the recruitment report. So you not only have the materials that they've sent in to you, but you also have a link where you can see them answering two or three specific questions that Beth and Jean would work with you on. What would you like to have those candidates respond to? And that gives you additional insight into the candidates as you work with Beth and Jean to narrow the candidate pool. And I also want to say, in the spirit of being transparent and a partner, we share all of the candidates' names with you. We want you to know every single person that applied. We, of course, are going to narrow that field, and Jean and Beth would do that and interview those candidates and present their credentials, but you would see everyone's, you would know the whole universe of candidates. And then they would work with you on the interviews and the discussions and the selection. I do want to say one more word about due diligence. We take this very seriously. We certainly want to practice a no surprises approach. And this means doing an intense internet social media search on each candidate. Today, in fact, I went through over 200 articles that surfaced on a city manager candidate that that our firm is presenting next week. So there is, we subscribe to the Dow Jones clipping service. We use that as well as Google and other methods to find out as much as we possibly can. And then, of course, we do the educational verification, the motor vehicle record, felony misdemeanor, all of those searches that are allowed by law on each finalist candidate. And I think I'm going to turn it over to Beth, who's going to talk about the timely aspect of the process.
Thank you. So our process is timely, and together we will create a timeline that works for you, and we will provide timely updates to each phase along the way. So as you can see, each phase corresponds to a step in the process that we just reviewed. We anticipate that the entire process should take approximately 12 weeks, but of course, we will be flexible depending on your specific needs. And this is a snapshot of what a timeline can look like. But again, we will work with you to develop this timeline. Our process is ethical. Success requires a partnership between GovHR and Mount Prospect School District 57. Throughout this recruitment process, we cast a wide net. And how do we do this? We do this because first we leverage our considerable network that Jean and I have acquired throughout our years in education. However, we don't limit the search to people we know. We're going to open the search up through our advertising, our posting, and our other tactics that Heidi just talked about. We always lead with integrity and honesty. Our guarantee, which Heidi will talk to you about in a few minutes, ensures that we will hire a candidate for you who is right for your district and for your community. We are committed to diversity, to continuous and honest communication and feedback, and equal opportunity for all candidates. Our process is a partnership. here is what we bring to you: our knowledge and experience in North Cook region, our extensive experience in recruiting and hiring administrators. Jean and I both had extremely successful relationships with our boards of education, and we truly believe that this is what led to the success of our school districts. Finally, we understand the complexities of this role and have led our districts through the shift to online learning and pandemic planning, just as your new superintendent will have to lead during whatever crisis or changes occur next school year. We understand the importance of a strong relationship between superintendents, partnering with community organizations and leaders. We've had strong relationships with our first responders, our police chiefs and fire chiefs, our library directors, our park district directors, and our village managers. We develop programs with them because the superintendent is the face of the school district, and the school superintendent must have the trust of the community. And we're going to make sure we find that person for you. Oops, sorry. We are committed to continuous communication every step of the way. We're going to be accessible throughout the process via telephone, email, Zoom, or even in person. We'll make sure to maintain regular contact with you, whether it be a liaison, a school board president, or maybe a subcommittee of the board, through regular communication. And we will be in touch with you every step of the way, and we will let you know when milestones are achieved. Regular status updates can be weekly, they can be every other week, whatever is you desire. And of course, we're always going to follow up with the candidates because we want them to know where their place is in the search process.
And our guarantee is that we are with you until you find the candidate that is ideal for your district. If for some reason, and this has happened less than 2% of the 700 recruitments we've done, but if for some reason this does not work out, we will come back within the first year, we will come back and redo the recruitment for no consulting fee. And that means if the person leaves for any reason. And I know we're at the end of our time, so we would just love to say that we'd love to have the opportunity to work with you, and we are happy to answer any questions.
Okay. Does anybody have any questions? You could speak up because I can't see anybody anyway. Jerry, do you have a question?
Go ahead. Yeah, I have one question. What is your estimated cost for your services?
I think that's in our proposal, and we have a proposal of between $17,000 and $18,000, depending on the services.
Thank you.
Does anybody else have any questions?
This is Vicki. I had a few questions. Can I ask, about that fee? I don't know, would it be something different just in light of, you know, the pandemic, there's not as much travel, would that affect your fee, or is that 17, let's say 17.5, does that incorporate like our current situation and everything that's happening?
Yes, it does. That incorporates everything we do. And we're very transparent with costs, and it's detailed and broken out in the proposal.
Okay. Thank you. And then I had a couple other questions. So Beth and Jean, I appreciate your many years of experience as superintendents. Congratulations on your retirement and, you know, starting this new venture. I take it just because you both retired in this past summer, a couple months ago, that for both of you, is this your first superintendent search with the company?
Yes.
So I appreciate like you bring a wonderful perspective that someone who has not, and a fresh perspective, right? Because you just came off not only your own retirement, but searching for your replacements essentially, but, and maybe this is a question for Heidi, but I just wonder what was the thinking of pairing two brand new, I guess, employees who've never been through a kind of nationwide super with this company versus maybe someone who already had been? So you have like a someone who had been through many superintendent searches with you versus somebody fresh. And I don't want to sound like I'm insulting you, but I just am curious the thinking behind that.
Well, I think our feeling is they're tapping into the expertise that we have in general in recruitment and selection. And their expertise is their knowledge of the industry and their networks of potential candidates. So while they would be the project leads and the people that would interact with you, they are experienced in interacting with boards, they're experienced in interacting with staff and community members. And all they needed was the infrastructure of, you know, the search process, which is not rocket science and can be, you know, easily adapted. And we have staff members who will do the social media push out. We have an applicant tracking system already in place. We have reference specialists ready to go. We have admin people who can place the announcements. So that frees up their time to work with the board, work with the candidates and find the best fit, which is what they've been doing their whole career, is finding the best fit for whatever position is available. So maybe not experienced in working in recruitments outside of their organizations, it's really the same process and it's taking advantage of their networks and the people that they know.
I can speak to that a little bit. I think that throughout my career, I've always been somebody who likes to grow administrators. And several people, I feel like I've informally placed them in positions that they were looking to get to just by knowing people and thinking this person is a great fit for this district. And it's about, you know, calling people up and saying, I have a great candidate for you. I know they're a good fit. And I would say in my career, and this is not formal, it's informally doing these searches, but at least 20 teachers who've moved their way up through the administrative ranks and have, you know, truly thanked me in the long run for getting them to the position they were, because I kind of knew where they were and what's a good fit. And fit is really important.
Thank you. I also was curious about the one-way videos of the candidates that you mentioned. I think for me personally, that would be something I would love to see. I think that, yeah, so I'm glad that you offer it. It's very important to me. So I just want to confirm. So it looked like in an earlier presentation that there's a extra fee associated with that. Is that correct? It's above and beyond your fee, there's an extra cost associated with that?
I don't think so. No, it's not.
Okay.
We have a subscription to it. So if it was separated out, that would, you know, it should be. Because we have a subscription as a company to it. So it's not, it can be incorporated into the expenses.
Okay. Maybe I misread it. It looks like there was a cost per candidate, but it's good to know that it's folded into that. Fees.
Yeah, it's probably just letting you know what the cost per candidate is, but that's not passed on.
Okay. Oh, good. I'm glad I asked. And then roughly how many candidates would we expect to see? I guess I don't know at what juncture this would be offered. Is it like when it's the final few? Is it a little bit beforehand?
Well, typically it's those candidates that Beth and Jean would feel are the strongest candidates for you to consider for an interview. So if there's 12 candidates maybe that they think you should consider for an interview, those 12 would do that video, and then that would help you narrow that pool down to a more manageable number to interview.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else have any other questions?
This is Kimberly. I just had one question.
Go ahead.
I was curious. It sounds like you haven't done quite as many searches particular to filling a superintendent role other than maybe the roles that you've sought your replacements for. So maybe this, again, is more of a question for Heidi. What have you found to be the size or scope of the pool that you're pulling from for some of these roles? I know we'll only see kind of a small snapshot, but I'm curious to know more from a tangible numerical sense, the depth of your network?
I would tell you, I could give you a couple examples, and Beth would give you for hers. In Lake Bluff, the pool was in the 30s, 30 in the 30 candidates. I will tell you, one of those 30 was a student that applied for the superintendent. And then you narrow that 30 down to anywhere between 10 and 12. The consultants then meet with the board and will recommend up to maybe 6 to 8 that the board, you know, does a first interview for. The one-way videos really help in narrowing that down. And then typically you have at least one, if not two more board type interviews to narrow that down even more. And on one of the slides, boards sometimes choose to do things like focus or interview groups with maybe parents, staff, community members. Some do in our district. We did a team of all of those combined. I know that many districts still do site visits to go interview people in either the final candidates or the final candidate. There's all kinds of things you can do, and I really believe that it's personal to each individual district as to what you're looking for.
And I will also let you know that at Gulf, I did the search for my replacement, and there were 37 applicants for the position. If we would have kept it open longer, we probably would have had more. But around 37, we did the same thing, narrowed it down to 12. So I would say for a district like Mount Prospect, you should expect anywhere between 30 and 50, really,
okay,
that will apply.
I appreciate that information. And yeah, just really quick as a follow-up then, I'm conscious of the fact that some people's personality or the full scope of who they are doesn't always come across over a video format. And I know we're all sort of limited right now by, you know, social restrictions and what have you. I'm wondering if you've given any thought to how your system kind of accommodates that potential that maybe somebody in person is really dynamic and doesn't come across the same way over video. You know, from the standpoint of wanting to avoid a really good candidate possibly being prejudiced just by the format of the interview process.
You know, one of the things that we found is that meetings are, you know, there's just as this is being live streamed, there's ways to see people in action, so to speak, you know, see them in their comfort zone, which might be at their board level or presenting. And what we've done in the past is provided, in addition to the media results, provided samples of, and worked with the candidates on it as, you know, they can also submit samples of presentations they've made that maybe shows them, you know, in an environment where they're prepared and doing presentations. So you can either find that from archived video or presentations that they've made. And I think that's helpful. I think the other thing that's helpful are newspaper articles and that media search, because you really can get a sense of someone as they're speaking to the media or what they're doing in the community or how they're answering questions. That's just another dimension as well to get a sense of their communication skills.
I would add to that, since Beth and I just retired, we have worked with many of the people, or at least we've worked with people that have worked with those candidates. And we bring that to the table when we're interviewing candidates. I will share, it was very interesting, and I've seen it happen on numerous occasions. When you ask a candidate to do an interview or a presentation for the board, that has always been a deciding factor for boards. Now, I don't know, Beth, if you did that in your search, but our board did interview candidates and had them present at one of the meetings, and that really helped them make their decision. So it's really all of these things put together based upon getting the most information on each candidate so that you can make the best decision possible for your school district.
Got it. Thank you so much.
Okay, anybody else? Okay. they kind of, Kim and Vicki and Jerry, they all kind of asked questions that I would have asked also in regards to the search and how the new super, superintendents are kind of newer to your forte, that you've been definitely more in the government side of it, the like village manager, correct? That kind of thing.
That's correct. Yeah. In city, we've worked with cities and counties primarily.
Okay. And, I'm not sure if you guys are going to continue on Zoom after the, I know that the other two are presenting for us, but we will be discussing this at our next meeting and making a decision on which firm we're going to go with. But I want to thank Heidi and Jean and Beth for a great presentation, very informative, and we really appreciate your time.
Thank you so much.
It's our pleasure. And we would, out of deference just to the others, we are happy to log off unless you think you have additional questions for us later.
I think we might be okay. If we need to, then I can always email any questions that we might have.
Okay.
And then I always forward all that stuff on to the other board members if there's any additional questions or any information to send back out.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. It was nice meeting you.
Nice meeting you all.
Too. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Next up, we're sorry. Okay. Are we doing all right there, Mark?
Yep, I'll go to who's next?
We have next is School Exec Connect.
That's me. good evening, I'll try to get a look closer. So, good evening, I'm Harry Rossi. I'm one of the founding members of School Exec Connect. Firm was started in 2004. I've been a longtime partner in the firm. I don't know if Ben Martindale is going to be able to join us this evening, but he would be the other individual who would be involved in doing the search if we're fortunate enough to get it. Tell you a little bit about my background. I'm the former superintendent in Northbrook Glenview School District 30. I was superintendent there for 18 years. Since retirement, I founded a lobbying firm for education called FedEd. I turned it off.
Sorry about that.
Market. I turned that firm over a couple of years ago, but I'm president emeritus of that firm. I've been with School Exec Connect, as I said, for 16 years. I've probably done somewhere between 75 and 80 searches altogether. Probably at least 60 to 65 of those searches have been for school superintendents. I've been an adjunct professor or consultant at Loyola University for over 20 years now. I've taught the educational leadership classes. I've taught the practicum classes where my students have gone out into the field, and I have served as their university supervisor for their experiences in their districts. I also currently serve on the national board for Loyola University, the National Advisory Board. I'm past president of that board as well. And I serve also as a mentor in North Cook County for first year administrators. And by the way, I'm not Kevin O'Mara, in case you missed my name. Harry Rossi. I look more like a Rossi than an O'Mara, probably.
Did you want, your video is not on if you didn't realize that.
Oh, my video is not on.
No.
It's showing me that it's.
It's, from what I could tell, it wasn't on.
I can see him.
Yeah, I can see him.
Oh, it is?
Eileen, okay. Yeah.
I guess I just can't see. I apologize. Okay. I will mute myself now.
No problem. So I've been involved in education one way or another for the better part of my adult life, certainly somewhere around 50 years altogether. I've done recent searches just in the past year. I did search in Lake Bluff for Jean Sophie's replacement. I did center CAS in the western suburbs. I did the search for the executive director at Joseph Academy. I've done WMET. I've done searches all over the north, northwest, western, southern suburbs. You have our proposal. So in the interest of time, I'm just going to give you a brief overview and then give you an opportunity to ask me questions. The most important meeting for us when we have a chance to work with the board is what we call our planning committee. And regardless of what we've put into the proposal in terms of timeline and processes, we always make sure in that meeting that we're on the same page with the Board of Education. So we will work out all of the logistics for the search. We'll work out all of the processes for the search at that meeting. We expect that we will be able to do that in September. And then shortly thereafter, late September, early October, we would start focus groups. And again, one of the decisions that we would be making during our planning committee would be which groups will be part of your focus groups. Obviously, in current situation, we would expect that they're going to be done virtually. But I did notice on your website that you, I think it's October 19th, somewhere along there, you're going to be making some further decisions, if I have that right. So, excuse me. So certainly, we will do whatever is appropriate at that time, but we expect that they're going to be done virtually, and we'll work with you on whatever groups you see are appropriate for your focus groups. We will do that with them. We will act as your ambassadors during those meetings. We will gather all of the data that we receive from the focus groups, as well as the data that we receive from the board in terms of what they're looking for in the superintendent. We will put that all together in a written profile that we will submit to you. And, you know, obviously it will probably be a virtual meeting, but however it happens at the time, we will present a comprehensive profile report to you. We will seek approval from the board at that point for that profile. And once we have that approval, we will use that and as we start to gather individuals for this search. We do not maintain a stable of candidates. We will look specifically for the candidate that we believe fits the profile that's been developed for your school district. We are a long-established firm. We have contacts all over the country, and we will do a national search. It will be advertised on Education Week. We will recommend that you use the online version as opposed to the print version. The print version typically is about three times more expensive, and it's great for the search firms. I always say that current superintendents would read that from back to front the way sports fans read the Sun-Times. But in these days, most of the people that you're going to want to interview are going to be looking online for their searches. So EdWeek, American Association of School Administrators, Illinois Association of School Administrators, all of their job spots, obviously our website, and then email blast to contacts, as well as there is an email system that allows us to reach 5,000 high-level school administrators all over the country that we can send out as an email blast to gather candidates. Having said that, based on especially the last few years' experience in doing searches, the great number of your candidates will come from the Midwest, and more specifically, candidates will come from Illinois. and those that will be looking for, especially for a great district like Mount Prospect 57, there's going to be a great deal of interest from current superintendents and current high-level assistant superintendents in the area and beyond. For that reason, we would suggest this to be a confidential search. What that means is we will not reveal the names of everyone who applies for this position. It has been our experience that that provides, that is a chilling effect on current superintendents who have really good jobs, who may not want to expose themselves until they're sure that they're going to have a legitimate shot at getting the superintendent. So we would recommend to you that this would be a confidential search. And I'll go into a little bit more of the specific numbers a little bit later on. But once we have established a pool of people who have applied and whom we have recruited, we would expect for your district there to be somewhere probably between 40 and 50 individuals. We will then do our due diligence in terms of due process, checks, background checks, reference checks, going beyond the references that are listed, and then bring to us whether at that point it will be able to be, it will be face to face. I can't say that there will be a handshake that will be part of it, but it will be face to face, whether it's virtual or in person. And at that point, we will conduct those interviews, probably somewhere between 15 and 20 of those. We will recommend then to you probably somewhere between 5 and 7 of the very best whose references have checked, who fit the profile that's been developed. Basically, it's been developed by you and your board and your community. And from that, we will present those candidates to you. Part of our process is that we do, at one point, we will ask the candidates to prepare a 15, possibly 20 minute presentation. That presentation will actually, the contents of that presentation will come from the board. So we will ask the board to tell us what it is that they would like for that presentation to be. In some cases, it's been the boards. Boards have said, well, have them tell us what they really know about our district, what our needs are, and how they're going to solve the issues that are our district. Something as complex as that. Others have said something as non-complex, but still important. Tell us what your passion is in education. What is your mission? What drives you? What is, you know, what do you feel about leadership? What is it that you can bring to the table? And everything in between. Those are probably two of the more extreme examples. So the board would have a chance to see those interviews. If at that time, sometime probably in November, if it's possible to have people in to do it, it would be person to person with person on hand. Otherwise, it would again have to be virtual. And then from that, the board would narrow the candidates down to 2, possibly 3 finalists. And by the way, we offer our services to help you if you so choose to get from the larger pool to the 2 or 3 finalist candidates. And then, you know, typically the second interview is more relaxed interview with the individual. You've had a chance to meet them, you've seen a presentation, and now you really want to get down to comfort. This is going to be a person with whom you're going to live, hopefully, as you have with Elaine, for many years, and that you're going to enjoy that. So I'm not saying that you won't ask direct and serious questions, but it's also You know, there's been some research that's been done that a lot of times it really comes down when boards see candidates of somewhat equal status, that it comes down to a feeling of comfort and wanting to work with that person for an extended period of time. Obviously, we will help you with finding comparable salaries. We'll work with you, we'll work with your attorneys in order to get to the right point. Once you have identified the final candidate, then we will, at that point, once you have offered and received confirmation that this person is your candidate and you have signed either a letter of intent or a contract, it's at that point that we'll let the other candidates know and present to them, you know, the board's opinion. So that's really the main part of our process. We have a guarantee also that for 2 years, if for some reason, two contractual periods, if the superintendent leaves, that we will do the search gratis. So that's generally it. And in the interest of time, I'm happy to answer any questions that you might have.
I have a question. I have two questions. So thank you so much, Harry, for coming on behalf of the board to, you know, talk with us. I love, you know, I love all your experience, not just your work experience, but I guess your experience like in our local area with the superintendent searches. So I appreciate that a lot about you. My first question is about those, the presentations or the videos. So I just want to sort of repeat what I think you said just to make sure I understand what you were saying. So you're saying, from let's say a candidate pool of 40 to 50 individuals, you would whittle it down to about 5 to 7 that you would recommend to us. And right. Then of those 5 to 7, if we as a board choose, then we could request some sort of 50-minute video presentation, whether it be we want them to answer a few questions, just something, but right. We would see it for each of those individuals.
And then correct. The same topic for all of the individuals, and it would be a two-way that would be part of your interview process. So it would start with the candidate doing a 15 to 20 minute presentation, and then the board could ask questions about the presentation as well as any other questions that the board might have. So it would be a pretty extensive, situation.
Okay, great, thank you. And my second question was about the focus groups. Mm-hmm. So just curious, so I assume you've held multiple focus groups in person. Can you talk a little bit about if you held any of them primarily just over Zoom and how that worked out? Do you have
experience? Yeah, just this past year, the last two that I did, CenterCAS, which is by Downers Grove, and then Joseph Academy, where many students from all over the suburbs send children who have significant disabilities to Joseph Academy. Those two were done virtually. So, I prefer seeing the person and, you know, shaking hands and having that kind of interaction. But when it's not possible, we were able to do that via Zoom and find, I think, very good candidates at the boards. Those two boards were satisfied with. And some of the other partners and associates in our firm have done the same thing.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Okay. Eileen, you're muted, Eileen.
See, I need the help. Thank you. Does anybody else have any questions?
I was actually going to ask one, Eileen. This is Kimberly. Kim. I'm curious to know, Mr. Rossi, if you have any experience in helping boards possibly distinguish between external and internal candidates, if that's been a part of your experience recruiting from in-house and outside of, you know, the potential internal candidate pool.
Sure. I'd say probably of, 60 to 65 superintendent searches, might even be more than that. At least half of them, at least half, have had internal candidates. So basically our policy is that we treat internal candidates the same way that we treat external candidates. And that's just a basic policy. However, we always say, and again, with 16 years experience of doing this for School Exec Connect, what I always say at the planning meetings is, this is the board search. We're going to facilitate it for you. And if the board, there have been boards that have said to us, we want you to interview the internal candidate. We're not sure that we know whether or not that person is of the quality of the external candidates. We'd like you to tell us that and include or not include that person based on what you hear and see. Other boards have said to us, we really believe that this person, based on what he or she has done in our district over the years, deserves the opportunity to meet with the board. So we want you to include that person as someone who will be interviewed by the board. However, we would also like your opinion about that person during your interview so that we can use that as one piece of information as we interview that person. So those are the two basic ways that that are done, other than just the basic policy of treating internal and external exactly the same.
Sure. I really appreciate you laying that out. I think for many, if not for all of us board members, this is our first superintendent search process. And I really appreciate you making that distinction between, you know, we would defer in some sense to your expertise, but ultimately we're the ones that are going to have the expertise about what will be best for our community, for our schools. And it sounds like there would be more of a partnership component in terms of working with you rather than control from your end. So really appreciate you laying that out.
Absolutely.
Okay. And I had one question in regards to that confidential search.
Sure.
Is that a regular thing that I'm assuming that is normally done and with the search, and that the confidentiality, like you said, was, you know, specifically because they just don't want everybody to know that they're looking, and if they don't get the job, they don't want people to think that they're ready to, you know, jump ship at any point.
So, you know, I know there's a lot of criticism about Illinois, and a lot of it is justified. But one of the advantages that we have in Illinois that some states don't have is that we can do these searches that are confidential. That means we can go out and recruit people now who have really good jobs. And one of the first questions we will be asked is, will my board know that I'm going to be applying for this position? And if so, I can't take that risk. Now, you know, some boards will say, well, then that's not a person that we want. But most boards over the years have said, yeah, we want you to be able to do that kind of recruitment, and we want you to reach out to those people that have really good jobs in good districts, and keep their credentials confidential And, you know, usually they're high quality people that you would want to see, but they just have good jobs. And, you know, a number of times there have been people who have said, you know, I'm really not, really wasn't in the market. I really wasn't going to look, but this district, you know, is really appealing to me. So I think maybe I'll consider it if you can keep this confidential. So.
Okay, thank you. Does anybody else have any other questions? Okay, thank you very much, Harry, for the presentation. And also I had told the other previous firm and that we are gonna have a discussion and pick the firm at our next board meeting, which is September 24th.
Okay, sounds good.
And then we'll let you know. And so thank you very much for your time and we appreciate it.
Okay, I will leave the video and so in honor of my colleagues who will follow, I'll be saying goodbye.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, and our last one up is BWP and Associates.
I think we're coming on board right now.
I think we're here.
Are we okay. All?
Oh.
Am I up there? I don't see myself.
There we are. Yeah.
Okay. Is it Mark? Are you still with us? Your tech person?
Yep.
I'm wondering if he's going to be able to advance our PowerPoint that we sent you. If not, we can work off the paper copies that we sent you.
Yep, I'll load that up for you. Just 1 second.
Sounds good.
Thank you.
Sounds good. So while he's doing that, I think we'll take a couple of minutes to introduce ourselves and get you to know who we are. We're back again. It's what, 10 years ago that we were here doing the same thing? Thank you. Great.
Thank you. Thanks, Mark. Thank you.
So, Anne, would you like to start?
They always make me go first. So
yes, you're the life of the party. So go
there
ahead.
There you go. Thank you very much for having us this evening in this kind of strange environment that we are all finding ourselves. But as we're saying, we're making the best of it, and we're getting used to working in this environment in this Zoom situation. My name is Anne Noland. I am a retired superintendent from the Southwest Suburbs at Oak Forest, Illinois, and Forest Ridge 142. Was very active superintendent, involved in many different of the organizations across the state, as we all were. When I retired, I wasn't quite ready to retire, and so I reached out to BWP and began working for them. So I've worked for BWP now for about 15 years. I'm a partner with the firm. During that 15-year time, I have conducted, along with some of my other partners, nearly 100 searches for superintendents and other leadership positions. And so with that, I think, you know, we've got a lot of good success and I've got a lot of good experience that we're bringing you today. And we'll talk about our success record a little later. The other thing I've been able to do since my retirement is a lot of mentoring. BWP provides mentoring, and before that, I worked as a leadership mentor for DuPage County. So those are the things that have been keeping me busy in retirement.
Bruce?
Thank you, Mark. Good evening, everyone. I'm Bruce Brown, and as you may know, I worked in District 57 for a number of years as your superintendent, and then after retiring in 2009, I also wasn't quite ready to retire that first time. So I took a job after 2 weeks or so with the Intermediate Service Center, which also is a regional office for North Cook County, and spent the next 10 years there doing a variety of things, including being the regional superintendent. So I think we bring a really intimate knowledge of not only District 57, but also North Cook County and the state of Illinois in general, because of the networking that's done with the Intermediate Service Centers and Regional Offices of Education throughout the state. So I think we can bring you definitely the richest body of candidates that exist in the current marketplace through our connection. So Mark and Ann have done hundreds of searches. I've participated in a few, and I think together you have a most seasoned group of people that can find the best match for District 57. Mm-hmm. And we're looking forward to that opportunity.
And I'm Mark Friedman. I'm the president of BWP and Associates and one of the founding partners. And we'll talk a little bit about the start of the company. I retired after 17 years at the superintendency in Libertyville, and then quickly found that my energy level was not one that could stay home. And so I took on several interim superintendent searches, starting with a year and a half in Winnetka. I was in your next door neighbor, District 59, as an interim superintendent. I wound up in Niles Township High Schools as their interim superintendent, and then wrapped it up a year ago in the Hawthorne School District in Vernon Hills as their interim superintendent and helped them pass a referendum that had failed four times prior. If you want energy and a lot of love and a lot of attention, then we're the people to do it. We are a very energized group. We enjoy what we're doing. I personally have participated in probably 125 to 150 searches. And this isn't just superintendent. This is in all domains of the educational administrative domain area. So principals, assistant superintendents, superintendents, you name it, we've done it. And another little niche that we really haven't incorporated much into our PowerPoint is that our experience in the COVID pandemic era, and I'll go back to this past spring where we wound up in the middle of seven searches when everything closed down. So we were doing virtual, we were doing in person, we were getting creative. We did some extremely creative things with districts that still wanted some in-person exposure and then also wanted to do everything they can to keep a good social distance. So we'll share all that with you as we go down the road, but we are very active. We want to be, you know, working again in District 57, like I said earlier. It's been, I guess, 10 years since we've been here. And we know the district between the three of us. No one knows it better. And we're ready to kind of rock and roll with you if you select us. So with that, I would like to move on to the next slide. And then I think, Ann, you'll guide us through that.
I will, yeah. Can
Mark, can we?
Did it not switch?
Let's... No, it didn't advance.
Yeah. There we go. All right. There you go. So we've introduced ourselves, and now we'd like to tell you a little bit more about our firm. We're BWP and Associates. We were founded by members of the Bicker Group, which had ground roots in Illinois, Wisconsin, Indiana. And then we decided that it was time for us to reach out and be a national firm. So we merged with four national firms, one of which was the oldest in the United States. So again, we've got a lot of experience doing the searches. But besides just our experience, what we really want to stress with you is we're really here to work with you and to serve you and to find out about what your district is like right now and your needs right now, and also to find a leader for your kids. We listened quite closely to some of the comments that the public were making, and it's all about their kids. And that's what we're really all here for. We're all here to try to help you find a leader that will work with your community and your kids and their needs. A little bit more on the next page, Mark, if you could go to the next page of our present. Okay, so we've got six partners. You've got two of them sitting with you tonight, and then 30 associates. Bruce is one of our senior associates, and these are retired superintendents, university faculty, former boards of education members. But what I really want to stress is that 30% of our associates are women and minorities. And this is really important to us. We really want to stress that we're a firm that values diversity and searches for diversity in our candidate pools. We're very active in professional organizations, and we've listed those for you at the bottom of the page.
Next page.
Okay, I think I'm up on this one, and just like to talk a little bit with you about the search process. We've outlined 9 different steps for you that are part of what goes on, and we won't go into too much detail on all these, but just to give you an idea that really it is your search, and it's something that we're going to customize and work with you on as to what you want the parameters of the search to be. So just starting with number one on our PowerPoint here, whether it's in virtual, whether it's a hybrid, whether it's in person, all these pieces are put together in conversation with you. We will give you, of course, our expertise and thoughts about how we think things could work. But if you know something about the community or something that really is salient that has to be included or should be a high point, that's something that we'll make sure is part of what happens in those customized services. The things that you really get kicking after the 17th or 24th, the 24th, when you tell us that we're your firm, is to start those recruitment pieces to get them online advertising going, to post that position, to start talking, if we haven't already, with the folks that we know across the region, across the state about the position, to get the application open online so that people can start applying, and to network with everyone. And I think that's the most important part of would the firm you choose. Do they have the networking capabilities to find the right people? Because this process is all about matches. The first match is you choosing the firm that's the correct firm for District 57 to utilize. And then at the end of the process, the board making that match between themselves and their candidate of choice, who is their leader for the future. So this is critical that you make the right match now. We think we have, as was stated already, the best possible expertise, experience, what depth of information that we can offer to you to make this happen. And part of that, of course, will be learning, again, what we've heard at the beginning of the meeting. What is the community thinking? We're going to be talking with them. We're going to have online surveys. We're going to be talking with you and then whatever focus groups or groups you think we should utilize through Zoom or other Ring Central, whatever piece we need to utilize to bring them into the conversation so that we make sure that everyone is addressed and everyone has a voice in the search process so no one feels left out and everyone's very transparent. So we would do that. We would put that information together after talking with all those constituents, create a profile of who we think the best candidate would be, and then share that profile with you to make sure you're in agreement with it. And then we move on to the next steps of the process.
Next slide. So as our process continues, and again, these steps do flow into each other. It's not like, oh, there's step one, separate two, three, four, five. No, they do flow together. And as part of a whole process, you'll see there's a lot of symmetry to it. So the next step would be to recruit quality candidates. This is where we'll contact highly successful people and talk to them about what a wonderful job this would be. And wouldn't this be a good opportunity for you to apply? And this goes, you know, both externally and internally. The key here is, while we don't know if you have internal interest, we certainly want to make any internal candidates welcome in the process. So we will review their materials. People encourage people to call us if they have questions. And again, at that time, we'll have determined whether we want to do a confidential, or as we call it, open search. And that's a discussion we would have with you as a board. There's quite a bit of benefit to a confidential search today. You get a larger pool, for one, and you don't want to limit your pool in any way, shape, or form today. You want to have as many as possible. However, there are some districts where that's just not possible. There are certain elements in that district that demand an openness, and you have to weigh that. You have to weigh being open versus getting a larger pool. And you may lose some of the best candidates if you go with an open search. But that's a discussion that we would have as a group at a planning meeting. And this planning meeting is truly where a lot of decisions are made. And we'll sit around or we'll Zoom around and badney about the pros and cons of a lot of different things. Again, you're hiring us to guide you through this process. We are going to do that. but there are things that we're going to want your input for. And so with that, one of the things will be making that big decision. The fifth step is to screen the candidates and to identify somewhere in the neighborhood 4 to 6 for board interviews. We will interview 10, 12, 15, depending on what the pool looks like. And we'll do that either in Zoom or in person. We've done both. We're a little old fashioned. We'd like to see a person face to face if we can.
Yes.
We're able to just do that in a small district in Riverside in May, actually. And we came up with an amazingly great little system, and it worked. And no one was exposed, and we kept social distancing, and they were very happy with the outcome. So there's ways to do everything today. And the more we're into this pandemic, the more, the better we get at coming around or finding ways around little obstacles. We'll do the extensive research into candidates' background. We'll do an online profile. We'll absolutely look at everything that we can, you know, as far as
social media, all their social media.
And so we don't leave any stone unturned as far as that's concerned, reminding every school district that it's a law that you must conduct your own criminal background check prior to the employment of anyone. Item 6, present a slate of the top candidates to the Board of Education. So basically, we will, you know, give you who we think are the best candidates. Sometimes we have a difficult time cutting down. We'll say, hey, would you see 7 people? Or, and sometimes we might say, hey, we only really see 4 good matches, so we would only give you 4. But at this stage of the game, that's what we're going to move to. Anne?
And I'm going to take you from there on the next page. So as Mark said, we're going to present you with a slate of candidates that we have spent a lot of time whittling down from your leadership profile to find the ones that are the best match, and done a lot of background checking on those candidates. And we will then come to you, and this is the first time we really need to be in closed session with the board. Everything else we can do by Zoom now, but normally in person. And once we're ready for the candidates, then we're in closed session with you. And at that time, we share everything we know about the candidates that we are presenting to you. Their paperwork, we provide you with packets on each of the people we're presenting so that you know them as well as we do. In the background checks, if there are things that we found out that we need to share, we will do that. So that's a part of that meeting. The other part of the meeting is that we will also conduct a workshop. And at that workshop, we will help you. We have a bank of questions that we will bring you, but we will really help you write your own questions or develop your own questions, give you some samples, but help you have a process where you can write your own questions that meet your needs as a district. We have a rubric that you can use to evaluate the candidates. We'll review the interview process, what you can and cannot do. And then the final thing we do in that workshop is try to talk with you about building consensus. Your board may already have some things that you have in place that you use to build consensus, but we will run through some of the ones that we think work for us and other boards that we have worked with over the years. Once we're finished, you're ready to go. And we will set up the finalist interviews for you for the 6 or so people that we present, help you get your schedule going, and you'll be ready to take it from there. So your next step then is to begin to meet these people in person or via Zoom. Again, those are decisions we'll make a little bit later on, and interview each of them. We ask you that you give them all 6 the exact same interview, and then narrow that down to 1 to 3 finalists that you want to invite back for a second round of interviewing. And there are different ways you can do this. Some boards like for candidates to come make a presentation at that time. Some boards like to eat dinner with a candidate, which probably in this day and age won't really work as well as it has in the past. But it gives you a chance to see your candidate in another setting. So then you'll see your final candidates for a second round of interviews. At that point, you know, at the end of the evening, it'll be your job, and this is the hardest one you have to do, is narrowing that down to one candidate that you'd like to begin to move forward to. Sometimes the board wants to call and do some additional references on a candidate. Sometimes they want to do an electronic visit with a candidate or set up some people that they can talk to electronically. And sometimes they do site visits, which in the Zoom would probably have to be electronic at this point. But again, we can work you through all that. The final step is to develop the contract with your new superintendent. And again, we'll provide you with some salary compensation information, and we'll help you walk through the initial steps of a contract. Your attorney is going to help you with the end result of the contract, but we have a lot of things that we can do on our end to get the contract moving along. So what we're really after here is for you to be happy with your candidate and for your candidate to be happy too. It's a marriage of sort. We want it to last a long time, forever, you know, as long as everybody wants it to last. But we want everybody to end this process feeling good about the process and feeling good about the contract and where they're at. So that's about the way the process goes. At the end of this, you'll want to design your own way of presenting that candidate to your community, and we'll help you with that as well. I think I'm on this one.
Yes,
too. I think this is me too. So when I first talked earlier in the presentation, I said we were proud of our success record. We've actually had one of our associates put some information together that we can share with boards that tells you specifically what that is. And in the many searches we've done since 2006, a vast majority of our candidates have completed the minimum of 3 years, which is basically their first contract. So they've made it through their first contract. And then the next bullet point, I think really tells you what we're proud of. 95% of those candidates were offered a second contract. So whether it was a 3-year or a 5-year, at that point, they were offered that contract. So that tells you that we've got some longevity in the way our candidates last in a district, which is really kind of what it's all about. And then the last bullet point tells you that not a single candidate placed since the founding of the company was found to be negligent or criminal. And we'll knock on wood that never happens to you or our company. But we're proud of our track record. We think that speaks to the experience we have and bring to this process.
And because of that track record, we can talk to you about our guarantee, which is on that next slide. And obviously, as it says, we'll be on call throughout that process, anything you need. And the following year as well, which would be the rookie year for the new superintendent. Mentoring for that superintendent and for the board would be part of the package and no cost for at least a year. And I think we might have an experienced person who could help with that. If the selected candidate would not complete 2 years in the position, the board remains predominantly the same and things haven't turned over, then we will repeat the search for expenses only. Make sure that you are still moving forward as you wish. And
so that's a full 2-year guarantee.
I'm sorry?
That's a full 2-year guarantee.
Yeah.
Yes. And we would not slate a previously placed candidate in another search for the term of the initial contract unless agreed to by the board. So if you hire candidate X, then that candidate will not be anyone that we would have contact with in search processes for at least the term of that initial contract. Though it guarantees that person would be in place for that period of time.
So if you wouldn't mind, I'd like to go back to the mentoring before we talk about the fees. I don't need the slide. I can talk without the slide. But I told you earlier that we had done some research on the boards and the candidates that we had worked with. And when we look at the superintendents we placed, 100% of them, when we've done our research, have been satisfied with the process and the placement. And I think a lot of that is because of the mentoring we do. You know, different people need different levels of mentoring. So if you get an experienced superintendent, we may not be spending quite as much time with them as we would someone who's new to the position. But we follow up and contact every person that we place to make sure things are going well. And we check in with board presidents as well to make sure that there's nothing that they need our help on to make the year successful. So that's another thing I think that we're real proud of.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Thank you. Next page, fees. So our basic consultant fee is $15,900. However, since we've done work in this district, we have reduced our fee to 14.9. We call it our friends and family discount. And when we do work multiple times in a district, we do reduce our fees. So the basic consultant fee is $14,900. We have some range for administrative support because we never know how much extra work is you know, will pop up or will be entailed during the process. And so we like to tell a board, look on the left-hand side of the range. So say administrative support and office expenses, 8,438, as opposed to 1,900 and 900. So, but there will be some expenses and they are absolutely detailed out. We do not use any paid advertising unless a district asks us to. The one organization that sometimes we do advertising is the American Association of School Administrators. That's the National Superintendents Association. They have, for about $500, they have a posting that runs for about a month. What we find is most of the candidates that we look at today, and again, we do a lot of searches, are local. They're from Illinois or from the Chicago area. We find that spending money on advertising for out of state doesn't really turn a pool of candidates out other than or better than what we have locally. So we've been coaching boards in the last several years that there's really no need to pile on $2,000, $3,000, $4,000 worth of advertising costs. So unless we come up with a special need, there would not be any additional potential costs. Candidate travel from outside the area, again, rare, very rare. We put it in there just in case it would come up and we had to fly somebody in, and we typically would pay their airfare and if they stay overnight one night, but you're not talking about a huge amount of money.
Now, as Mark said, we are a national firm, so you get your national advertising just from the postings that we do on our website, and we get lots and lots of hits on that website. So we really feel like that's your national presence. We do searches nationally, so people are looking at our website all the time.
So we're going to just highlight together this last page, why us. We could probably, you know, throw a whole bunch of other things on there, but a record of success. And again, we've done the research. One of our colleagues is a professor at a local university, did an actual research piece on the record of success, and it's something we're really proud of, and it's a lasting record of success. We have strong reputation among clients and candidates with great references, and we'll be glad to give you references from all over the area, your neighbors, Palatine, Wheeling, Arlington Heights 25. We're glad to have you talk to any of those folks. We do extensive recruiting and use resources to provide you the best candidates. We have resources all over the place. We have a comprehensive professional network. We all belong to a lot of organizations. And through those organizations, we meet and talk with candidates. And that's where we help develop our pool. We will customize the search process to meet your needs. If you say you need something and we haven't mentioned it, we'll make it work. And record of success in placing female and minority candidates is unmatched. As we said earlier, our local references, how many do you want? Dozens. We'll give you more than dozens. Track record of success in the suburban areas is really strong. And of course, we know your area and District 57 well. I live in Buffalo Grove. Bruce obviously lives in Northbrook, but was your former superintendent. And we've done other work in your district too, a business official search several years ago and other types of placements. So we know your district well. And we've also placed more than 20 interims in the area. So we're always, just in case that might come up, we're always ready if something needs to be stretched out and we need an interim. We have a wonderful group of people to fall back on.
To add to that, I'd like to say, you know, when we say we know your district well, but we also want to know by doing the focus groups and talking to each of you and doing the survey, where you are right now and where you want to be in the next 5 years. So we got a good base and a good understanding, but we really want to search out and find out where you want to be in the next few years, because that's the leader you want to hire, the one that can get you to the next level.
And I think many of the districts would come to us with the title of this final slide as a question. Why should we choose you? Why BWP? You all seem to offer the same services. If you look and listen carefully, the level of services are different because of the experiential base and because of the knowledge that each of the firms brings forward, as well as the individuals who work for those firms. And looking at what you have in front of you, the three of us that are talking to you now, I think we have a unique ability to tell you who the shining star could be for Mount Prospect 57 in the future, because of the knowledge we have, both the intimacy with the district and having a knowledge with the Mount Prospect community, district, and what the aspirations of the area are, but also objectivity, because each of us have worked outside of the local district. We've worked in regional networks. We've worked on statewide committees and bases. So we have a very rich ability to bring forward the best candidates for you. And as I mentioned a while back, a few slides back, it's all about the matches. And if mm-hmm. you make those correct matches, you get the candidate that you want and you deserve.
And also, it should be noted that the three people who you're seeing tonight right. are the three people who will work the job.
Yeah.
This isn't us coming here and selling you our firm and then three other strangers show up. So
now what you see is what you get.
Yeah. You may not like that.
We hope you do.
Dump them, you know, okay. Mm-hmm. But the reality of it is we've worked together a lot and feel real comfortable.
Right.
And it makes it flow. And the second thing, the most important thing is, and we don't have it in a slide, but we referenced it earlier, and we understand your situation as board members. This is, I believe, the first time you as seven board members have made this type of a decision. Selecting your superintendent, that's your number one job. The school code says you only have one employee, and that's the superintendent. So we understand that, and that's why we took this on as sort of a teaching and learning process for us with you as a board. We connect very well with the boards of education that we work with. And part of it is because we take these experiences and we turn them into teaching experiences. Anne mentioned the emphasis on kids and children, and we emphasize learning through this process and making yourselves better at your job of board members, unpaid job of board members, by the time this is all done.
One other item I would just mention is that we would think that this would be a very attractive position that when it's offered. Not only the fact that you've recently had a referendum success, but the fact that the community is so solid, the schools are in great shape, all yeah. the things that a person would be looking for, a board that they would want to work with because they know there's a great intermeshing between the board and the superintendent that already exists. All those factors are there. So we don't see any reason why this wouldn't be seen as a creme de la creme position and would attract the very best people for District 57.
As well as internal candidates.
Exactly.
Okay.
I think that concludes.
It's all yours, Eileen.
Okay, thank you. Does anybody have any questions? No.
Yeah, Kim, I have a couple questions, Eileen.
Go ahead, with something.
Go ahead, Kim.
Thank you. I was actually curious with regard to the comment about the potential, I guess, propriety of doing an open search. I'm wondering if you could speak more to what precisely are the circumstances that warrant that type of search versus a closed search or a confidential search.
Well, there's districts that are under a tight microscope, maybe from community groups, and or there is negative things going on within the district politically. And so in order to demonstrate a different type of openness, the district goes ahead with what we call the open search. I'll have to say, in the last year or two, we've done very few open searches. And the reason, again, being it does limit the pool of candidates. And I think you mentioned it earlier, Eileen, somebody mentioned it, that, you know, how do you ensure that you get the right candidates? And the one thing you don't want to do is eliminate a group of people because they don't want their name out, because they're afraid their home district's going to hear about it. And they're going to think, you don't love us anymore. We don't want you anymore. And then they're back knocking on the door. Can you find me a job somewhere? So that's a reality today. And social media has made this even worse.
Yeah.
It doesn't take long for somebody's name to get out. Oh, did you know your superintendent's interviewing in Mount Prospect? Oh my goodness, he wants to leave. Well, let's look for another person. Let's get rid of him.
Sure, and I'm actually glad you mentioned that. That actually segues very nicely into my next question, which was with regard to what sounds like the extensive social media kind of online background search that you all do. I'm curious if you can speak more to what maybe in the past or kind of just from your experience you found to be things that would disqualify a candidate that you might find in that social media search.
Some of it is job hopping with no substantial rationale for why. You know, sometimes people move around. They may have a family issue, a spouse transfer, lots of things. But if somebody stays a year or two and then all of a sudden moves to another job and another job, there's usually a backstory to it. And that kind of sets a red flag up. And we'll usually follow up on something like that. And there are other things similar to that. Ann, go ahead.
Yeah, Kimberly, when we find those things through our searches of print and social media and anything that we can get our hands on or through talking to references, what we do is we'll follow up on that with the candidate. And there are certain things that when a candidate tells us, we can understand. And if that's the case, then we may go ahead and bring that candidate to you and provide you with all the details that you will need to make sure you're comfortable with that. If the candidate can't make us comfortable with them, then we probably won't see that candidate. The other thing we always do, whether it's going to be in a Zoom or in a face-to-face meeting, is we're going to ask them face-to-face if there's anything that we need to know. And again, if they tell us something, and most people are very honest, tell us things we don't need to know, but if they would, that you would need to know, then we tell you right from the beginning. We don't want you to have any surprises, nor do we want any of your teachers or community members to find out something about a candidate that we haven't already told you. That's our professionalism. And
it's sort of like that swear on a Bible kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, I'm not going to say there couldn't be something we wouldn't uncover, but we really work hard to find everything that we can that yes. we need to
yeah,
know.
There should be no surprises for you.
No surprises, yeah.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that.
Sure.
Welcome. I have one question.
Sure.
Go ahead. Brian, right?
Brian.
Yeah. Hi. You mentioned the 2-year completion guarantee. Does that include termination?
Yes.
Yes.
That's basically what it's for. You know, if a board decides we're not happy with you and we're going to cut you out, we'll come back in and replace that person.
Thanks.
No cost to the district.
Okay. So under any circumstances, they leave, different job, termination.
Correct.
Yeah, right.
Correct.
Right. Right.
Yeah, we've had a couple of unusual circumstances over the years. One superintendent's spouse was transferred halfway across the country. So instead of staying, she left in the middle of the year to go be with him. Mm-hmm. And the board president called and said, help, what are we going to do? And so we patched it together. We got somebody in place fairly quickly. And I think the person's still there.
It's good to have that guarantee. It'll make things a lot safer feeling for you.
Yeah. And the first year is sort of a honeymoonish period. You know, it's like everyone's feeling themselves out, getting used. It's the second year where things generally flare up a little bit. So that's where a lot of these decisions are made. And it used to be that we had a 1-year guarantee. We've expanded that to 2 years because of recognizing the fact that it takes a while to just get comfortable in a district.
Very true. Brian, any other question?
No, that's it.
Okay, anybody else? Okay, did you also, do you provide videos like before we were to meet the candidates themselves, like the group of five or seven that we would meet? Do we get to see a video of them, of like an interview or of some sorts?
If you want.
If you want, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. We don't get a lot of requests for that, to be honest. Okay. But
we have done searches where we've done something like that. And so, again, that's something that in the planning meeting or even in the meeting where we come and talk to you confidentially, that if that's something that you would like, then we'll work with you on that.
But that's okay. Totally doable.
But we really want you to be able to meet these people in person if you can. And again, Mark, as Mark talked, in the spring, we had to get real creative on how to do that, to get people in front of boards and still maintain the social distance and confidentiality. And we did it. And so we really think that this is somebody you're going to work with for the next several years. We'd like for you to be able to sit down and talk to him.
Okay. If by chance we have any other questions that come up, it would be okay if I emailed you any other question we might
absolutely.
Have.
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah, absolutely. Okay.
I know you've gone through three. It's a long night.
Yes.
And, you know, I'm sure there are other things that will come up, and your next meeting isn't for a couple of weeks. So there will be things that pop up. I would just like to say we really are proud of our local references and your neighbors, especially like Wheeling. And we've given you, and I don't know if you have it in your packet or not, I'm not going to ask Mark to put it up, but we gave you a kind of timeline search calendar that we used in Wheeling. And it's something that we've replicated in other districts because it gives you, a board member, a kind of an overview, a picture of how many things you're going to need to get involved in. Now, some we could add, some we can take away, but it's just a nice spreadsheet showing here from start to finish. We're starting, you know, September 1st, and we're going to finish up December 1st, and these are the things that we're going to need to go through. Now, this being an unusual year, it's even possible that we can expedite that search even quicker because there isn't the usual get-in-the-way things like the triple I concrete that slows everything down, stuff like that. So it's possible it could be accelerated. But we were really happy with how that all worked out. And even in Palatine last year, it worked out so well. And that's a really huge district. We tried to follow a pattern that the board members are comfortable with. We work for you. You're hiring us. We want to make it easy for you, and we want to be good teachers. And at the end, we want you to be happy and your community to be happy.
Right.
And as both Dan and Mark have said, it's all about customizing the way you do it.
Sorry, I'll mute.
Somebody's house is getting burglarized.
Bruce,
you were.
I was just saying, as you and Anne had just said, Mark, that the search really is a customization of what you want to have happen for District 57. And it's our pleasure and our job to make sure that we put the details and parts of this together the way you want it to play out so that you're comfortable that you did your due diligence and you've done that employment of that sole employee the very best that you possibly could. That's our goal and our mission. And we enjoyed having the chance to present.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Mark, Anne, and Bruce, for the presentation. We thank you for your time. And we will have a discussion about this at our next board meeting at the September 24th, and that's when we'll make our decision, okay?
We won't log in that night. Okay.
Yeah. Please let us know if you have other questions.
Yeah, and again, if you do need references, easy, Eileen, for me to send you the names of the board presidents and stuff like that. So.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Okay. Bye. Have a good night, everybody. Nice seeing you. Elaine, nice to see you again.
Yes, Elaine, where are you?
Bye, everyone.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.
Okay. So that is the end of our presentations. Elaine, do we need to go into closed session?
No, we do not.
Okay. In that case, can I get a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Kim, that seconded it?
Yep.
Thank you. Vice President Chung?
Yes.
Member Fay?
Yes.
Member Kobus?
Yes.
Member May?
Yes.
Member McCluskey?
Yes.
Member Rotroff?
Yes.
President Kowalczyk?
Yes.
Jen?
Another one done.
Jen?
Did Jen come?
Yeah, but I wasn't sure. I noticed that her there at 8:05. I was going to ask her if she knew what time she came on.
I want to say it was 8:45.
Oh, it couldn't have been that long. I said,
no.
7:45, you mean?
Wait, yes, sorry, 7:45.
Okay, because I noticed you at 8:05, but then I didn't know how long you had been there. So 7:45?
7:45, thank you.
Okay.
It's been a long day.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Jerry, I'm sorry you didn't get to band. If it's any consolation, neither did I. There was a band performance at the high school in the field tonight. And it was at 8:00. And I'm like, dang it. They're like, why don't you just wait in the parking lot? So, but they said there will be more. So hopefully we'll get to see one of them. So that would be nice. Thank you all. And then I guess we'll see each other. Oh, I want to put a reminder. I forgot to say it on the thing, but that survey was sent out for that, the board evaluation. It needs to be in by September 15th. Just a reminder, if you haven't done it yet, do it, send it in. It's quick, painless, sort of. No, I'm kidding. Okay. All right. I think we're all good. Everybody, you have a good night. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good night.
Another couple of hours.
Good night.
Good night.